Welcome back to Reimagine with Renata, a podcast that delves deep into topics that uplifts and empower others to reimagine life from the inside out. I am your host, Renata Del Carmen, and today our discussion is very close to my heart. In this episode, we'll explore the importance of nurturing our soul and finding balance in our hectic lives, including self-care and wellness practices. Get ready to reconnect with your heart and soul and discover the transformative power of taking care of yourself. We can begin this journey together. I'm excited to be joined by our special guest, Giovanni Downing, an expert in wellness in the field of holistic self-care, who will share her wisdom and insights. Together, we will explore the benefits of nourishing our inner beings. So, you are ready to embark on a journey of self-discovery, self-love, and self-care, then stay right where you are. Welcome, Giovanni.
Hi. Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. My birthday is this week, so I have no complaints.
Happy birthday. So amazing.
Thank you.
Please tell me you are doing something to celebrate yourself.
Yes, I am. I'll be in Atlanta speaking at a women's conference, the Restore Her Retreat. And I'll be speaking, presenting to women, speaking about thriving through transition. So I'm excited to be able to connect with a group of women, empower women, and then also enjoy Stone Mountain, Georgia, which I heard is gorgeous. So I'll be out there in the mountains.
Lovely. That sounds like if we were going to talk about anything today, that's the perfect way to segue into our conversation. I hope that it is filled with lots of love and joy for you and everything that you desire.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You have to come back and tell us how it was, what you did, and any experience you had that you'd love to share with us. We'd be happy to have you.
Okay, I sure will.
So I know you are passionate about self-care and supporting women on their self-care journey. So I guess, tell us a little bit about what sparked that passion for you.
I would say that my passion really for what I refer to as holistic self-care, holistic wellness, started back in maybe 2012 or so. I was a personal trainer and I operated my own business. It was called Healthy Her Fitness. And of course, I would get tons of client referrals. I did one-on-one training and I did boot camps as well for women. And as clients would come to me, of course, they want to get in physical shape. I was serious about cracking the whip and getting those results physically. But I noticed a trend. I noticed that every client I had, that the barriers to their physical health often stem from emotional challenges, psychological challenges. And though I was helping them get into physical shape, I noticed that oftentimes after the workout, we would have discussions about things not related to the gym, not related to their physical bodies. But it really gave me insight and understanding how oftentimes, as women specifically, we have emotional, psychological, and spiritual barriers that hinder us in other aspects of our life. And our physical health is oftentimes the direct impact of other underlying emotional challenges. And once I realized that, I felt like God just struck a match within me and gave me more clarity on my purpose. And I really wanted to be just embark upon a journey and a mission to help women more holistically beyond the physical.
That is amazing. Like, I'm so excited for this conversation and to hear more of your insights around that, because it makes so much sense, right? We want things and we have everything we need to either accomplish it or even just get started. And there's always like this pause button on life for some of us. And it happens to the best of us. So I'm excited to learn more about what that experience has been like for you. But you name like having a focus on holistic self-care. So like, do you mind defining that a bit more? Like, I've found that women or people in general just don't really know yet what self-care is for themselves. So like, what is holistic self-care?
Holistic self-care encompasses all the dimension of wellness, right? What it means to be well, to be healthy and thrive. And we think about wellness in different categories, which we refer to as dimensions. So we have a financial wellness, the state of our financial health. We have physical wellness, the state of our physical health. Yeah. We have emotional, psychological. There's a social wellness, you know, how we engage with others in the world. So holistic wellness and holistic self-care examines the circle of all of those things, because really, if you're unhealthy in any of those areas, it can impact another area. So when we look at things holistically, we don't want to isolate and say, okay, girl, you looking good. You got your hair popping, lipstick popping, but emotionally you're in shambles, right? We want to look at things in totality so that as women, we're whole, we're healed, and we're capable to do whatever the work is that God has called us to do.
Whew. Now, that is a mouthful. And a valuable, like so many, this conversation could go in so many different directions, but I'm glad you brought our Father into the conversation, right? Because you touched on your purpose and you touched on like what we need to be doing and understanding about ourselves and our bodies and our life in general to be also moving within our purpose and successful at it. I find that to be success in itself, knowing your purpose, because so many people struggle with understanding their identity and the reason they are here. To even have identified that as success, right? right. But also like wanting the desire to be holistically well is one thing. And then the steps to becoming holistically well is another thing. So like, what is that like to go from not understanding it at all to like, let me start here and focusing or doing these particular things?
You know what? I'm glad you asked that. A lot of times we think about self-care, you know, of course it can range from the girls trip, the bubble bath, meditation. There's all these different gamut of things. When I think of self-care, I always start with your mindset, right? Because if you are not prioritizing yourself, your health and your wellness, you can say, oh, I may just start doing XYZ tomorrow. But if you haven't decided in your mind that you are worth doing XYZ tomorrow, that you are so important, that taking care of yourself is your top priority, then it's going to be kind of hard to be consistent with some of those self-care practices. Yeah. So I like to look at inside out. You know, if you find yourself, you know, a wife, a mom, you have all these different responsibilities and you examine that you take care of others way better than you take care of yourself. Before we just start jumping into some external practices, let's start to examine why. Let's ask ourselves why. Ask yourself the hard question. I always say that the why matters more than the what. And when you keep asking yourself, why don't I make time to exercise? Oh, I'm busy. What do you make time for? And really start to uncover the reasons that you're not making care a priority. I think shifting some of those mindsets can help us be more realistic in our self-care practice and also do things that are more sustainable.
Now, that is the mindset. I'm in total agreement. In my personal journey, there have been times where I've been full steam ahead and I was focused, right? I was intentional about eliminating distractions and I was intentional about accomplishing a specific goal. And so like I was moving toward that with intention, right? But you bring up something that I think has in my life, my journey has been a stumbling block, and I'm sure others, for others as well, is the self-image and the self-reflection and self-awareness of like where you are mentally and what you are thinking about yourself that is impacting whether or not you are making these decisions to do these things and doing them.
Right.
So like in your experience, how much has that been a factor or played a part in someone's success in achieving this holistic wellness and self-care versus like continuing a cycle they are unhappy with?
Yeah, what you said, I mean, it rings true. I mean, as women, we have a collective shared experience. So I would argue this one thing any woman will go through that thousands aren't also going through, right? Either simultaneously or at some point along the journey. But when we think about self-awareness, the self-awareness helps us understand who we are. You know, we always say knowledge is power, and we refer to information about things, but knowledge of self is powerful. To be able to understand, you know, if you tend to spaz out and snap off all the time, why is that? You know, what is that? What is it about you that's causing you to be easily offended? You know, so when we think about self-awareness, it's really taking more of a look inward. Mm-hmm. You reference distractions and having attention. We live in a world of distractions. We live in a world that most people spend most attention, give most attention to things that matter least, mm-hmm. and least attention to what matters most. We spend most of our attention outside of ourselves, but really what matters most is in here, mm-hmm. you know, because that drives everything. You know, one thing that I, you know, self-care, there's a lot of different practices. You know, there's meditation, which yeah. I do. There's sound meditation. I did that last night. Journaling is something I'm a huge advocate and proponent for. So there are a lot of different practices. I don't believe in, you know, being cookie cutter. And if you don't like to write, and you don't want to do that, totally fine, right? Find something that feels comfortable to you, you know, fulfills what you need, gives you insight, increases your self-awareness, but also fits the scope of, you know, your life and what works.
These are some amazing strategies. I am not, well, actually I am. I am new to journaling. And the reason I say I had to battle with that for a second is because I've not been consistent. So like I've done it in the past. There are pockets in my life where I've journaled, but I've not journaled consistently through the decades of my life. And so it always feels like it's brand new when I begin again, because it transforms so much for me. So like has journaling had that type of impact for you? And like, how often would you say someone should journal? Is it like when they feel like it daily, when things arise for them and they want to work through it emotionally? Or is it all of the above?
Okay. You got a stack question here. All right. So first I'll say, yes, journaling is the foundation of my self-care. It's the foundation of my self-awareness. And that self-awareness has created the pillar of my self-care. So I started journaling in 2005. At the time, I was a recent college graduate, had been a college athlete, just, you know, had a great, fabulous life. But I was actually struggling with depression. Mm-hmm. And most people would think that because my energy is always on 10 and always just high on life. But I was really struggling with depression. And so there would be times where I would watch TV and randomly cry. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what I was crying about. Why am I crying? And it would just happen in bouts and in cycles. And the guy I was dating at the time was like, why are you crying? I said, I don't really know. I just sometimes just cry like this. And he was like, oh, well, you know, that's not normal. You should probably go to see a therapist. So I took his insight, went to see a therapist, and the therapist suggested that I journal as an exercise for one of the work sessions. And I followed the advice. I wrote in my journal. And I felt so much relief. And it was so interesting how I had spent years of like randomly crying in these bouts and cycles, completely clueless as to what I was crying about. And then in an hour or so of doing that writing, I looked on the paper and I was like, wow, this is what I've been crying about all this time. So journaling unlocked the key to self-awareness for me. And wow. I've been journaling ever since 2005. Now, when you asked about, you know, consistency, you know, should you journal every day, blah, blah, blah. I think it just depends from person to person, because for me, journaling is the key to self-awareness.
Yeah.
I don't journal. I wouldn't even know myself. I feel like I really learn about who I am when I write, how I feel and what upsets me and things like that. So I don't journal every day. I do journal often, but it's not stemming from, oh, it's Monday, journal on Monday. Oh, it's Tuesday. It's mm-hmm. when the need arises. So when I feel overwhelmed, I journal. When I feel like I want to step off on somebody, I'm like, let me take this to the journal and just go crazy on paper so I don't go crazy in real life.
It makes so much sense. Like, please, everyone, please. Right. Especially where we are as a world today and all the things that are happening. Some people just need to journal. You just need to journal.
And the self-awareness is really the first step to self-care. I think mm-hmm. about it as, let's say if you're in a relationship, if you have a boyfriend, girlfriend, or a spouse, in order to provide what your spouse needs, you have to know what they need. Like, if you don't have awareness of that person and what they like and what they don't, how can you then meet their need? And mm-hmm. the same thing is with us. If we don't really have the self-awareness of, like, what's bothering us, what we're holding to, what things are brewing inside and all that, how can we then manifest a practice of self-care to yeah. meet the need? We don't even know what the need is.
So true. And in you saying that in terms of self-awareness and knowing what we need, and we talked about this a little bit earlier in terms of like self-image, but and the outside things that we pay attention to more than the inner things. What impact do you feel like, I guess, between media, social media, friends, family, and all these other factors that influence how we see ourselves? What impact do you feel like that has on our ability to be intentional about being self-aware and going inward versus like just accepting what we see and what people say?
You know, I believe that, especially when we talk about media imagery, you know, we see, of course, on social media, people show all the highlights, right? It's just like an ongoing highlight reel.
Yeah.
And if you want to be in a relationship and you don't have it and you're just scrolling past everybody that has one, you know, that can impact your psyche, right? Because now you're internalizing and creating narratives like everybody yeah. has, but I don't. When the fact of the matter is many people don't have it and some have it aren't happy. So, you know, that is what it is. But when we see images, you know, it causes us sometimes if we just sit in that, we really get into cycles of comparison where we're comparing ourselves to others, whether it be physically, whether it be, you know, in terms of material possessions. But a lot of that comparison just really takes us out of the focus of our own journey in our lane and kind of keeps us, you know, brewing up, you know, things about other people's lives that really don't even matter. So I think that's it. And then also, as Black women, you know, culturally, we think about the superwoman mentality. I always say, who is Superwoman? Who created her? And why are so many women ascribing to be like her? Whether doing it consciously or subconsciously.
Right.
So the superwoman narrative, you know, that impacts women, all of us, you know, thinking that we have to be capable and do everything, show up for everyone, always be Johnny on the spot, put us before ourselves. And at the end of the day, all we're doing is having a negative impact on our health, which is why a lot of, you know, Black women, we have the highest morbidity rates, highest percentages of diabetes and all these different physical life-threatening challenges because we're not taking care of ourselves.
This is like, I want to give you a hug through the screen. I think the more we say it, the more we speak about it, the more we like put ourselves in a position to support each other around having compassion for each other and ourselves when it comes to understanding that point. Like, we are so caught up in sometimes being superwoman that it shifts our attitudes, our like moods. We come off so like hard and disagreeable and combative, and it's not about anything other than like we are doing everything, we're carrying everything, and we need a break, but we have not chosen to take that break. And so now we're lashing out on the people around us, right? Like our kids, our significant other, our family, our friends, our colleagues, whomever it is. And like, in terms of women supporting women, right? Because I've had a few conversations this week where that has been a reoccurring conversation of this expectation for women to understand and be in support of one another, but people feeling disappointed in that area. So like, when it comes to the people who we believe understand the most, right? Other women, what are some ways that we can support each other?
That's good that you said. I mean, podcasts like this, Reimagine with Renata, you know, this is a way that we support each other, having a dialogue. I believe that, you know, those of us or anyone who has a platform, which we all do, you know, we all impact some people within our circles, really being vulnerable, honest, and transparent. Vulnerable, honest, and transparent. Because, you know, sometimes I start the day like, whoo, today is great. And when the day is over, I'm in shambles. Okay. But I know tomorrow's a new day and I'm gonna reset this thing and we're just gonna just restart. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, you know, if you're a professional woman and you're successful in business and you know are doing accomplishing things, share with people your struggles. Mm-hmm. So people don't have this false idea that mm-hmm. being successful means that you don't struggle. That being, you know, highly energetic doesn't mean sometimes you're down and out and don't want to take your bonnet off because you struggle.
Okay. Because I did not wake up like this every day. I didn't. That's not what happened.
Yeah, so I think just having safe spaces, of course, and friendships, when women that we're close to, you know, we can share that, but also just in our, you know, different peer groups, I think that's really important. And also uplifting and encouraging each other as women. If one woman is not doing well, none of us are doing well. When I spoke about the high levels of diabetes and morbidity rates in Black women, I don't have diabetes. But if a high percentage of us have it, it's a problem for me. That's just having that collective mindset, you know, of us really championing one another. And even if you're not necessarily discussing what's going on with you to other people, really think about how we talk to ourselves. You know, if you talked to other people the way you talk to yourself, how many friends would you have? When you make mistakes and mess up, do you tell yourself over and over again, you know, negativity and different narratives? Or are you encouraging yourself? So aside from encouraging other women, we have to encourage ourselves. Because a lot of times we criticize ourselves, we tear ourselves down, we speak so negatively to ourselves, but we can encourage others. So it has to be both. It has to be an internal and an external practice.
Can you imagine, as you're speaking, this came to my mind that we'll see all day memes, all types of social media content that'll say, you can't pour from an empty cup and you can't do this. Like, you need to be filling yourself up. So can you imagine that you're filling yourself up with negative self-talk and pouring out to others in support of them. Like, how depleted are you? You're depleted. Like, yeah. That's not okay.
Yeah, it's not okay. And it's so interesting. It's like our emotions are internal. We can't see them. Our physical is external, right? So if something's happening physically, if there's an ache or something doesn't look the way it wants, we immediately address it because we can see it and everyone can see it. However, our emotions, people can't really see your emotions. And if you get good at masking them, they really won't see your emotions. So it's easier to cover those up and hide from other people and just from ourselves. So I think a lot of times with the self-awareness and self-care, it makes space and creates room for what's inside to come to the surface of our awareness so we can be attending to those matters in the same way you would if you notice your hair was thinning on the edges or whatever. If you notice something physical, you would address it and attend to that. Having the same sense of urgency to attend to matters of the heart, matters of the emotion, matters of the spirit.
Yeah. And as you say this in terms of supporting one another and ensuring that we are taking the steps to support ourselves and encourage ourselves, like, I want you guys to know that is what Giovanni and I are doing in this moment. So we are both a part of Black Christian Influencers Network, and the concept of collaboration came to the surface. And I put myself out there and said, hey, this is what I do. And Giovanni put herself out there and said, hey, this is what I do, right? And you guys know the God we serve. And so that connection, obviously, if you know anything about my brand, you know this is a conversation that falls right in line with everything I've been speaking about and advocating for the past few years. And as you can see, Giovanni is like the go-to person, okay? She is the go-to person because I'm sure there's nothing that she has said that hasn't resonated with any of you, whether woman or man, because we all come to this place where we need support and need tools to get through these times where we are unsure of how we're feeling. Our social and emotional well-being is depleted. So Giovanni, I don't know if you want to share about that, about your experience in terms of like the sparking this collaboration and building your brand and what support looks like for you and your brand.
Oh, definitely. So, and as you said, I was, you know, we're both in the same network group, the Black Christian Influencers. And oftentimes as an entrepreneur and a business owner, sometimes you innately think of doing everything yourself. Mm-hmm. You have an idea like, how can I make this happen? How can I make that happen? And then you have to remember, like, you don't have to make everything happen. When you connect with people and collaborate, then you have support and you don't have to do everything. So right now I don't have a podcast, but Renata has a podcast. So through this platform that she's created, it opened up a space for both of us to reach more people and to discuss the things that matters. So when I thought we talk about collaboration, that was a part of it. I just jumped in. I said, you know what? I am going to connect with as many people as possible that I believe share my vision, are in line with what I believe to be true, and are doing work in spaces designed to uplift and empower others. And Renata's picture came up. I said, oh, she's looking sharp. Okay. I went to her page. You know, she was professional. I could tell that she was authentic. She was honest. And she just resonated. She resonated with me, and we just started the conversation. Now it's collaboration. This is the beginning of something great. But yeah, just reach out. Just reach out. You know, whether it be, I know that sometimes, you know, moms get into a mom group. If you are struggling as a mom and overwhelmed and you are exhausted every day, get into a mom group. You know, there's Facebook groups where you can just, maybe you want to explain how you feel to someone who doesn't know you. There's mom groups, there's single parents groups, divorcee groups. Yeah. Connect. There's so much power in connecting with other people who have either gone through what you've been through and can be able to offer you insight, or vice versa. Maybe you can be the one offering insight for someone who's going through something that you've gone through as well. So we definitely have to, it's communal. We are a communal people. You know, we're communal people.
It should be. And we need each other to survive. And you guys know, Giovanni learned, I wrote a book, How to Survive Being Buried Alive, which is really many of the biblical principles that we know and have heard throughout our lives that tell a story of like how I actually took the steps and what I did. If you guys haven't purchased that book, it's available on ebook or Amazon, but it really speaks about like these very things, like making the decision in your mind, taking the steps, assessing your circle, a lot of those concepts that we hear over time. And sometimes, you know, we just need to hear it a few more times.
The reminder.
Yeah, we just need to hear it a few more times. But I preach to myself because in every decade of my life, I've experienced something different that has required me to go back to those basic principles and those biblical principles to thrive through transition. Tell us what it's like to thrive through transition. Like, what should that feel like? What should that look like?
All right. I'm glad you asked about that. So when we think about transition, I'm not referring to change. Change mm-hmm. is the external circumstance or situation, something that happens to you. Yeah. Transition is what happens to you in the process of the mm-hmm. change. And if we open ourselves, if we trust God, if we let go, because in life we will have to let go of people, things, desires. When we let go, when we're vulnerable, when we accept the fact that we sometimes have to break down in order for God to build us up. Mm-hmm. When we accept the fact that we don't have it all together, but in our weakness, God is our strength. And we can be vulnerable, accept the fact that the growing pain is a part of the process. We can go through the healing steps and then emerge whole and well and more resilient at the end. When we resist it, mm-hmm. when we lean into anger too heavily, when we explode or repress our feelings and pretend that everything's all together, we really hinder our healing. And instead, we build up cortisol in our body and all those things that breed toxicity in our physical health. And instead of getting better, sometimes we just get bitter and we bear the weight of one experience into the next experience. So that's what thriving through transition is all about. So I'll be speaking about that this weekend in Atlanta. And some of the talking points have really sparked a book project that I'm working on called The Edge of Faith, How to Hold On in the Moments When You So that's a project I'm working on. Of course, I'm all over social media at Giovanni Downing. I do have a few journals that are available. I might be giving away some promotions for my birthday, but I have a gratitude journal that's out. I'm also working on another self-awareness journey called The Selfie. And that's passionate about just leveraging a lot of the tools and things that I've used that have helped me in my personal life. And things that affect the women throughout my health and wellness coaching experience as well.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to hear, and obviously I want you to tell everyone more about what the process is like to acquire you as a coach and what the experience is like, right? Like, is it... as long as they need coaching, do you have a particular plan that women go through? What is that process like?
Sure. So it's not cookie cutter because I don't really do anything cookie cutter. And I say that even from my approach to coaching. So I'm not the type of coach that just wants to say, hey, pay for this, pay for that, and rack up. That's not my mission. It's not my purpose. I work with clients that I'm aligned with, and I realize that everybody that comes to me, I may not be aligned with. Mm-hmm. But if there's someone who maybe feels like they're stuck in a pattern they're trying to get themselves out of, or maybe they're not able to clearly, you know, find a path to whatever that goal may be, I like to come in and help my clients get from that point A to B, whatever that may be for you. So typically we start off with just an assessment, just a conversation to get to know one another and see if we're a good alignment, good fit. And then if, you know, if that works, then we go from there. And simply the programs, they kind of range. Like sometimes I might do sweet. Some people have been clients for 3 or 4 months. Just really depends on the need and what's going on with the client. But it's very much based. I pretty much use the same approach I did when I was a personal trainer for physical fitness. You come in, you say you want to be healthier. I assess you physically, see what your capabilities are, see what your goals are. And then we create a physical workout plan to help you reach that goal. So I really use the exact same model I did when I operated my fitness business.
Wow, that is awesome. Now, do people need to be where you are to be coached? Do you do virtual coaching?
I do virtual. Actually, all clients have been virtual. Awesome. This virtual world, you know.
You can be anywhere in the world. And get your life, girl. Anywhere in the world. And get your life, girl.
So everything's been virtual thus far. So I do kind of a combination. So I do a lot of workshops, lots of speaking engagements. I like that because it gives me the opportunity to meet and just work with more women at one time, which I really enjoy doing that. So it's a combination of both, but I fit it all in because, you know, I've, like I said, the busy schedule, being a business owner, entrepreneur, all those different things, and a wife, and all the women.
We love when the wives come to the show. The people are aware that I'm single, but listen, women are married. We are married and in loving relationships, healthy marriages.
Loving relationships where we're growing, yeah, where we're learning, where we're being selfless, where we're holding each other accountable, all those things.
Yeah, that is so amazing. And how lucky is your husband to have someone who is consciously, you know, doing the inner work and really self-aware, right? I look at, obviously, it's hard to ignore some of the information that is online about some popular people in the...
Oh, my goodness.
It's hard to ignore. Really hard.
I know, I probably know you refer to. It's all over the news. I don't know. I'm assuming you're talking about Will and Jada. I'm not sure.
What y'all doing? Many of us, right? Like I cannot say I haven't had good examples of marriage to glean from, right? Like I have friends that are in great loving marriages, and ideally we would want to represent everybody to be Barack and Michelle, right? We want every Black couple that graces PMZ, we want them to be Barack and Michelle. But you know, we are human beings, and
we are. And even Barack and Michelle, I don't know if you saw that interview when her second book came out, she was doing a tour about it. And she said, she was like, what she said, she was upset or she was mad at Barack for like 10 years. Like there was a whole 10 year period that she was resentful of him just from, you know,
running for office. And yeah.
10 years, girl, a whole decade.
Right. And raising children through it. Cause can you imagine like your life is, and if we really think about it, because Michelle has expressed more than a few times that she had no intention or desire to live in anyone's White House and lead anyone's United States of America, but you know, like this is her husband's dream and she's supporting him. So can you imagine living through that? And it's not even something you wanted to do. Okay.
That's a testimony to thriving through transition, right? How do you wind up in the space you don't want to be in, experiencing something you didn't plan? You know, do you resist it? Do you fight back and forth? Do you lean into it? You know, accept it, and then just allow God to just, you know, nurture you and allow you to grow and then be blessed by it. So yeah, but that's a real transition right there.
There's no secret. You guys know how we swoon over Barack and Michelle, but
we
can't expect everybody to be like that. Will and Jada, we were rooting for you. Some of us are probably still rooting for you because grace abounds, but my God.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of Will and Jada fatigue going on right now because I saw an interview she did today and I just felt confused. I was like, what am I looking at? What is going on? Why is this happening?
Many conflicting stories.
Yeah, it's kind of chaos, but you know, they say no publicity is bad publicity. And you know, she's a public figure. I don't know her motives or anything, but she is a public figure. Yeah. And for all we know, maybe, you know, you want to stand in the limelight, you want to share. I don't know what's going on, but it's definitely not, you know, it's not healthy, you know, not emotionally healthy for any of the parties involved.
Right. You know? So that's, I think, not mostly of their children and like the impact even prior to us learning this information, right? Like they were living it and now they have to relive it. So my hope is that they have the support that they need and are in a space where maybe they can hopefully disconnect, because I think like, I hope we want to disconnect, please.
Let it go. Don't tell us about it. Or give us the light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, when we talk about transparency and being vulnerable and sharing information to help others, share, like, where's the light? You know, we talked about you did this, you did that. I mean, where's the light? You know, are we saying this to say, hey, marriages go through ups and downs. These have been our ups and downs. And now we're working on, you know, loving each other in this new season. But it's like, almost like we're just in this pit of shenanigans.
And here's the trash. We are not your curb. Stop bringing us your trash. We are not your curb.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So yeah, that's crazy. Crazy examples. But so like people that we know, you know, that can give us insight. And that's with anything. If you want to start a business, you will look to someone who's had a successful business, and they're probably going to tell you about all the ups and downs and in-betweens. But the beauty outcome, either from them staying the course, and even if they didn't stay the course, just whatever they may have learned in the process. So I think that's what it's all about.
Totally. I love where this conversation is going. The people, you guys do not crack up. We talk about relationships every time, and it's okay. It's okay. That's how we.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's, we're humans, and we are here to support each other, whether it be through friendship, through relationship of any sort, because I've also found support as a woman as it pertains to like self-care and self-awareness through colleagues as well, right? Some of us spend most of our time with our colleagues more than with our own families, right? And, you know, work is work, but there is always like something that can show you who you are and who you need to be and where the work needs to be done. And I think work is absolutely one of those places where you are tested and you have to be tested.
You're tested. Now you want to share, I know we talked a lot about like practical steps and things, and I don't subscribe to cookie cutter recommendations, but I did want to share one cool thing, something that I started doing some years ago. It's called 10 for 10. And so it's really practical if you are someone who feels like, my life is too busy, I have no time for self-care. This is for you. And if you can't do this, call me or DM me or something. It won't take much time. But it's 10 for 10. So as soon as you wake up, within the first 10 minutes, maybe you got to use the restroom first or whatever, but within the first 10 minutes upon you waking up, name 10 things you're grateful for. Ooh. It literally will take you barely a minute and a half, right? If you don't have a minute and a half in your day, like I said, call me, right? 10 for 10, within the first 10 minutes, just wake up and name 10 things that you are grateful for. The power of gratitude, when you do it over time, it has the power to alter your brain chemistry. It has the power to condition your brain in such a way that when you encounter things that are stressful, even traumatic, that you're able to be more centered and navigate from a greater sense of peace. So try that 10 for 10, but do it in the first minutes of the day. 10 things you're grateful for. That's an easy, simple, realistic self-care strategy that you can implement today, tomorrow. As soon as you hear this, try it out.
And you guys, that's really, I don't want to call it a challenge because I don't see it as a challenge. I see it as a must do, but like that is an amazing idea. And I would love for you guys, should you do it, should you join us? Because I'm going to do it. Tell us in the comments, what your experience has been. Do it for a week, just a week, right? 7 days, do it for 7 days and come back and tell us what your experience has been. Make sure you're also following Giovanni on Instagram at Giovanni Downing and tell her, follow her and tell her what your experience has been and what the impact it's had on your day. Because I know starting your day with gratitude, prayer and gratitude is just shifts. It changes, you ever wake up and you're like, oh, I don't want to do anything I'm supposed to do today. But you get into prayer and you have a moment of worship and gratitude with God. And then you're like, oh,
it's a shift. It's definitely a shift. The 10 for 10 is easy and simple. I do that every morning and I do meditative breathing every morning. I mean, this literally takes me less than 10 minutes. It takes hardly any time. I just do quick, simple box breathing where you inhale. You can start at 3 seconds, inhale, hold your breath for 3 seconds, and open mouth, exhale for 3 seconds, and just repeat it for a couple cycles. I do that every morning. That helps to activate the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the part of your body that actually keeps you calm, that keeps you at peace, that keeps you more still and stable. It exercises and strengthens that part of the nervous system so that you'll start to experience more peace throughout the day and throughout the week. So those are quick, easy. I'm telling you all, try these things and let me know how they work. And if you believe you don't have time for simple self-care, call me.
Please do, everyone. Please do. Because I Giovanni is provided so much amazing insights in this episode. She's given us tools. She's showed us, what the journey has done for herself and how she's supporting others. And I really don't want you guys to just watch this and move on with your day. Take this moment to really hear us and make a decision within yourself to shift that one small thing, even if it's the 10 for 10 in the morning or the box breathing, that one small thing, and see what it does for you, and then come back and celebrate with us because we know that is going to really help shift you from where you are to where you want to be. Now, Giovanni, we play some games around here. I'm not going to do the card game. The card game could get super wild. It could go super wild. Today we're gonna do what is always in your purse. So do you happen to have your purse with you?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Should I get it? It's close. Yeah. With
it's, up to you. It's up to you to pull out what you're gonna pull out.
Well, I keep it authentic in these streets when I say.
Okay, so we want to know, what do you have in your purse?
I have my eyebrow brush because
I know that's right.
I keep my brows popping. You never catch me without the brows
and
popping.
They look good.
And then good. I always have a bold lip color for those moments when you leave the house and you didn't plan to go anywhere, and then somebody's like, "Ooh, let's pop out." So I always
wait a minute. Is that Ruby Woo?
This one, I got two in here. This one, the red one is, it is, girl. Listen. You know your match lip colors. You know your lip colors.
Don't play now. I love that.
And then I have, do you know this one? Trivia, lipstick trivia. Do you know this one?
I don't know this color. There is a one that's more like magenta-ish that I know. And I was about to say that one and the name won't even come to my mind. But I've seen that one. I just don't know the name.
This is called Make It Fashion. This is the one I'm wearing. So I'm usually either wearing a bright.
It's so pretty on you.
Thank you. I love bold lip color. And I have a flyer from a smoothie place I went to.
They want you to stay healthy.
I have celery juice earlier. And that looks like it. I got some business cards. That's about it. My purse is small. I usually keep a small purse.
So where's your coins?
Oh, right here.
Oh, so you do have your wallet.
Yeah.
Wow. So like my cousin was on the last episode. And she lives in Florida. She drives. So this is so interesting. She was pulling out shades, her hater blockers. She had like two battery packs, chargers. I'm like, clearly her purse was not as small as yours.
Yeah, I forgot. This is the secret of all hairpins.
Oh,
these are hairpins. And then I have this. This is like if I have my hair in the afro and the weather gets crazy, I could just like tie up my afro puff. So but I don't like to take a purse because I feel like if the purse is big, I'm gonna fill it up with stuff that I don't need. And a small purse means I'll just have what I need. So I try to keep it more minimal when I can.
I love that. It feels so light, like ready to go. Like you don't have anything holding you back. That's what I get from that.
That's true. And then you can't find anything. I feel like a big purse is like a sea of forgiveness. I'm like swarming, diving, like doing a percolator inside the purse, trying to find things.
That is me. That is me. So, and I swear I organize it. Like the little pockets, I'm like, I'm going to put lip gloss in this side, keys on this side. And by the end of the day, I'm scrounging. Like, where I know I put it. Oh, my God.
It's like you have everything. You have everything, but you find anything. So.
Terrible. Giovanni, it has been such a pleasure to have you here. I am so grateful for your presence, for your insights, for your mission, your passion, your purpose. God has truly blessed you and he has blessed us by allowing you to be here. So I thank you so much for joining Reimagine with Renata today. Before you go, just please let everyone know one more time where to follow you and how to get in touch with you should they want you to be on their podcast or speak at their women's retreat. How can they get in touch with you?
All right, thank you. So yeah, you can follow me on pretty much every social media platform except Snapchat, but I have everything else. I'm under Giovanni Downing everywhere. So just my first and last name. You can find me on all the platforms. And I do have a link in bio on my Instagram page. You can click there to find information about my gratitude journal, which was birthed after my 10 for 10 morning routine I started a few years ago. along with options for consultations for potential coaching, and also be able to reach me about speaking engagements or workshops.
Amazing. Thank you again, everyone. This episode has been just a joy and a pleasure. I'm excited for you guys to come back and share with myself and Giovanni what you uncovered, discovered, or thrived through with practicing and using some of the tools that she shared with us today. We'll be back. We'll have more conversations like these as we creep into the holidays slowly and start our new year. I know you guys know, like, I start talking about the next year in mid-October, early November, and I'm in that place where I am thinking about what my next year could look like personally and professionally. So I'm excited to share more of that with you guys in the coming weeks. Again, Giovanni, thank you for being here. And my faves, I will see you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.